This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who is the most important New York Met? Who is the guy I look at and say, I need a really good year out of him? Mm. And I almost don't want to say like a Lindor or Soto because...
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
I know they're going to be good. Like, right. I don't really have questions about them.
Right, so who needs to step up is really more the question.
Yeah, someone who's in the shaky category, up and down, lack of consistent category that I look at and say, boy... I need him to be awesome. I think with Juan Soto and with Francisco Lindor, their track records are clean enough where it's like they're going to be variations of really good.
And they need to be if they're going to be good at all.
Yeah. It's like the Yankees with Aaron Judge. Like, yeah, no kidding. No bleep Sherlock. Of course he needs to be good. So I was giving this a lot of thought last night, and I have an answer. And I'm curious about your guys' answer, but I kind of want to go first just to make sure you don't steal my answer.
Go ahead.
So you want to guess who my guy is? The guy I look at and say... I need a big year out of him. Need a big year out of him. He is the key to team success.
Francisco Alvarez.
You're going Francisco Alvarez. No, he's already out for a few months. Not Alvarez.
Right. He could come back mid, you know, mid-season acquisition without actually having to acquire him or give up anything.
Spoken like someone who drafted him in fantasy.
Oh, yes, right. I did. Thumbing a pro bowler. That's what we exactly did.
That's what you did. Hi, Tommy. You seem to know me very well.
I'm going to go with Peter King Aloysius McDonald Alonso.
It's not Pete Alonso. The key to the Mets' success, and I think after you hear it, you'll say, ah, that's a good point, is this guy. So Edwin Diaz got off to a good start, then he started to struggle, lost his closer's job, got suspended, came back, and then was pretty good in the second half of the season. And ended up having what I would say was an up-and-down year, but finished strong. Like, even our lasting memories of him. And I know it blew a game against the Phillies in Game 2, but think about the composure he showed in Game 4. I did not have a lot of faith as I stood next to Positive Tommy that night, and he put the first two guys on base. But he got through it. So I think at the end of the day, Edwin Diaz was fine. But in modern baseball, and we talked a lot about this yesterday with the Yankees, I've mentioned this a lot with the Mets during the offseason, the keys to success is you got to score runs. I think the era of relying on starting pitching is pretty much over. I think it's an overrated aspect of baseball now. You got to score runs. But the other aspect that's not underrated but is really important are bullpens. Bullpens matter. The top six ERAs in team bullpen last year all made the playoffs. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
Bullpens matter. So
like holding, closing.
Yes. And also, you're asking your bullpen to throw more innings than ever before because you're not getting a lot of innings out of your starters. For the Mets bullpen to be, let's say, a top 12 bullpen in baseball, You need the back end to not feature any questions. Because if it features questions, it leaks out. If Edwin Diaz is losing his closer's role in June, and now all of a sudden you're asking A.J. Minter or Ryan Stanek to get big outs, the rest of your bullpen falters. If the Mets get 2022 Edwin Diaz, chef's kiss. What I really need, though, is just a solid version of Edwin Diaz. And if they can get that, one of the top five closers in baseball, I think it makes the rest of the bullpen stronger. And that's why the most important New York Met going into this season is Sugar himself, Edwin Diaz.
You say this as Paul Blackburn is going to start the season on IL. Your bullpen, he needs
to. Oh, really?
Oh, we didn't tell Evan that yet.
Oh, my bad.
No, you didn't want to tell me that?
It just happened.
News is circulating in about, you know, Brett Beatty made the opening day roster. We're still finding out about Acuna. And yes, Paul Blackburn will start the year on the IL.
Well, I think what that means probably is that Max Kranick is going to make the team. And I'm very, very happy for him. And also, Waskar Brazoban will likely make the team because those two guys are competing for one bullpen spot. If Blackburn's going on the IL, he was going to start the year as a long reliever, not in the rotation. I think that's the answer.
You nailed it. Kranick and Brazoban made the team, and Hayden Senger.
Hayden Senger's the backup catcher. And no official word on Acuna. Does that mean they're still looking for a utility player?
All I see is no official word. I haven't seen why there isn't.
What I said the other day about Acuna is that the Mets are looking to add a player to the roster. Doesn't mean they will.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't, Acuna's going to make the team. But I think they are trying to add a utility player to fill out their 26.
Third on my list. For guesses for you, which is probably the one I would gravitate towards, is Brett Beatty. It's been too many years of him not fulfilling it, and if he gets anywhere close to what Mark Fientos did, then what you were talking about offensively really gets boosted.
Yeah,
right. And it makes it less, I don't know, dependent upon a strong and solid bullpen.
Beatty is, to me, it's important for him more so than it's important for team success, because I think there's a lot of ways the Mets can get production. Like, A, Jeff McNeil could come back. B, Luis Angel Acuna can get another opportunity. Ronnie Mauricio tears up the minor league. So I think for Brett, it's about him, and this is his real last chance to prove he's a major leaguer. But to me, Edwin Diaz is number one. Who would be your number one guy based on the criteria I laid out?
The criteria, you're talking pitching?
Well, no, everybody. I mean, if you want to use Brett Beatty, it could be Brett Beatty.
Well, it would be Brady, but I think you're right. It's about him. To me, it's Kodai Senga.
Because
Kodai Senga was supposed to be your ace 2 years ago. This ghost fork and everything else. And he kind of was on his way. And then he gets hurt and barely pitches last season. And now you don't know. But you also don't know about Clay Holmes. You obviously don't know about Doug Peterson, Tylor McGill. Like, you have all of these questions that in your starting rotation. You need somebody who is supposed to be your ace to be your ace. Now, it could be Clay Holmes, to be honest with you. But I think if Kodai Senga has a great season, then the Mets put themselves in so much more healthy of a spot throughout and into the postseason.
No, it's a great candidate because he can be an ace. By the way, David Stearns is meeting the media in Houston, and here's what he said about Acuna, because you guys are right. The roster said, except for that part, we know Acuna can help us, and he's going to help us. It may well be tomorrow afternoon. We just have to work through this and make sure that we're exploring all options before we set anything
so
in stone.
Does that mean...
It backs up what I've been saying
for
2 days.
Means they're looking to add somebody?
Yes. Yeah. They're looking
instead
to add...
Instead of him.
Yeah, sending him to AAA, adding someone that fits the role of not playing every day. Because here's the issue they may run into with Acuna. Beatty's going to play second base every day. They're only facing one lefty, and that's opening day, Framber Valdez. The next week and a half, it's nothing but righties, which means Beatty's going to be the second baseman. So Acuna's role on the team for the first week and a half of the year is pinch runner late. I guess he could come in late for defense. Clearly can come in late for defense, but isn't going to get that opportunity to play every day. So I think the Mets probably view it that they would rather have someone who's more tailor-made for that super utility role.
Right.
But if they can't find someone before tomorrow, then Acuna's on the team.
Now, you mentioned Mauricio, Ronnie Mauricio.
Yeah.
We heard, I don't know, a week and a half ago, maybe even longer, that he was not going to play anymore in spring training. He's going to down in the minors. What's his status?
His status is he's starting with extended spring training. Then once they deem him ready, he's going to go to single A. Once he's ready after that, he'll go back up to triple A. And at that point, then if he tears it up, he could be on his way back. So I think with Mauricio, you really can't think of him as a major league option for, I'd say, like a month or two, probably longer. So we'll keep an eye on the final roster construction. But, yeah, Luis Angel Acuña is still not officially a member of the roster. Who's your most important Met going into the year?
For me, it's Mark Vientos. I think if Mark Vientos is the player that he was, you know, whatever you want to say, second half playoffs, and he takes that next step and is this superstar player, it lengthens the lineup. It takes some of the pressure off guys like Lindor and Soto, and you now have a B superstar guy in the middle of that lineup. Mark Vientos, to me, puts the Mets in a different stratosphere if he is the player that we saw specifically in October, where he basically hit a home run like every at bat.
It's funny with him, like, the Met fan, I see this. The Met fan last year was very negative going into the start of the year. Like, this team sucks. What a terrible offseason. Mark Vientos is a waste of time. Started the year in AAA. And this year, it's such the complete opposite.
Well, that's because Mark Vientos stepped into a role.
No, I know. He played great last year.
And lived up to it.
He played great. But the bullpen and the rotation features questions, and yet most Met fans are vibing 90-plus wins.
Okay, so blow five games at the beginning of the season again, and guess what? They'll feel the same way all
over
again.
It'll be a quick turn. Right. But the positivity coming from Met fans is actually starting to scare me. Because what I liked about last year was that when there were very few of us
evaluation
being positive.
Year. The evaluation
yeah, the evaluation
year, I kept
year.
Calling it.
But very few of us were positive. I was positive. Tommy was positive. Even Hoff was positive. I felt like, you know what? These negative Nelly Met fans, they're going to get their comeuppance. But when they get cocky, like all of them, it kind of makes me nervous. Are you not vibing a little bit of that, Tommy? Like, it's starting to make you nervous that
the NL East is over.
Sal thinks they're winning 97 games.
TV Sal has them at 97 wins. I think Radio Sal more like 84. But I understand where you're coming from. Normally, I would have that approach where a fan base is too gassed up. They're usually setting themselves up for disappointment. But I think they have good reason, Ev. We're coming off this great run to the NLCS, and they got better. They added Juan Soto to a team that went to the NLCS. If you can't, and you have Mark Vientos, you brought back Pete. If you can't be giddy and excited for this season, then you literally are just a negative person.
No, it's not.
They are great on paper
but am
and
I,
off of last year.
Am I negative to tell you, and I'll just reveal it right now. I'll tell you my Met prediction. I'll tell it to you. My Met prediction is they're going to make the postseason as an 89-win team that gets the third wild card spot. Yes, that was the result from last year. Now, I think they'll get there very differently. I don't think they're going to start the year 0-5, knock on wood. I don't think we're going to be, you know, having players throw gloves into the stands in late May. So I think it's going to be a much more organized, comfortable 89 wins. Now, I say that because I'm curious. Am I being negative, or is that, no, it's a good positive opinion? 89 wins, and they're in the postseason. Is that a good year? Forget the playoffs. We'll get there. Is that a good year on the surface?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. I agree.
Absolutely it is.
Is that a good year?
It's a great year. To get to the postseason, the way baseball is constructed now, get to October and go from there. Winning a division is nice. You want to hang a banner, but get to October and go from there. That's all that matters anymore. Winning a division, winning 100 games is just something you remember. Oh, remember when the Mets won 100 games?
Well, no, it gives you an advantage. It does. I don't care what the early returns
I disagree
say.
With that. I'd rather play in those first couple of games.
Come on.
I thought it. You don't think that benefited the Mets to have that win in Milwaukee? Mm. I know you can't always draw it up that way. I thought that gave them the momentum. And when they played Philadelphia, to me, Philly was the team that had no momentum.
Yeah.
Mets
no,
it had
felt
it.
Like that.
Right?
It felt like that.
All right, so then, I'll ask you guys, since you really feel that way, is final weekend of the season.
Okay.
The Mets are tied for the division. Yeah. Ball's in their court. Win the games. First round bye, win the division. You're saying you'd rather them lose. Kind of like the Knicks dropping four.
I think what Tommy's saying is you'd rather have momentum going into the postseason. Think about where the Mets came from a year ago when everybody had given up the first 2 months of the season, and all of a sudden it just started to like build.
Right.
And it all the way up to 161, right, where we talked about it. We had to live game watch, and you're freaking out. You and Tommy, I think you shared some tongue that day.
What?
Excuse kissing me? Each other, humping each other, whatever the heck you guys were doing.
And you never called me back, Evan.
Exactly.
Let's go, Mets!
Right, but that propelled them to what ultimately became an NLCS run.
Right.
And so, like, it's important to have meaningful games at the end of the season, especially if you started poorly.
Yeah, I just think that this is very simple. It's very simplistic. I'd rather have to win fewer games to get to the World Series than having to win two more games. So I totally get that over the last few years, it seems to have benefited teams having to be in the wild card round. But I can tell you this right now. Like, 80% of what you said and what you said, I agree with. Just make the playoffs. Yeah. That is a success.
It didn't last year, though.
Right. No, I get
last
that.
Last year, it was the two teams that won the leagues.
Right. Think about that. The two teams that got to the World Series won their divisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it didn't impact the Yankees. It didn't impact the Dodgers. I'm telling you, I want to win the division. It's not the end of the world if they don't. But if they're sitting there final weekend of the year in Miami with a chance to win the NL East, I want the NL East.
Yeah.
I want the NL East to be over, as Sal would say. I'm not going to sit there saying, boy, I'd rather play in the wild card round. Are you guys nuts? You'd rather deal with that kind of risk? It's very, very risky. But either way, it's an exciting time. Baseball's about to begin.